You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Genesis chapter 37. And tonight we're going to read a little bit, or a lot of bit, about Joseph. The record of Joseph. And there's a lot of cool things in this record. A lot of cool principles and the way that God just works with a person, a single person, to do great and amazing things. So we're going to start in verse 1 of Genesis 37. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob." And Jacob, as we know, is God renamed Israel. Right? And so the children of Israel are this man's offspring and descendants, one of which is Joseph. "Joseph, being 17 years old," right? So he was 17 at this time, "was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah." Okay, so Bilhah was Rachel's handmaid. Jacob had married both Rachel and Leah, if you remember. He was tricked into marrying Leah first, and he loved Rachel. But he married both of them, and he also had children by their handmaids. So Bilhah is Rachel's handmaid, and she had the sons Dan and Naphtali. So two of the 12 tribes of Israel, Dan and Naphtali. So he's out in the field with Dan and Naphtali, and Zilpah, with the sons of Zilpah, and Zilpah was Leah's handmaid. And her sons were Gad and Asher. So he's out in the field with Dan and Gad, Naphtali and Asher. The sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So he was a bit of a tattletale. Okay? Now Israel, the other name for Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." All right, so Joseph was Rachel's son, and one of two of Rachel's sons. And Jacob, or Israel, loved him greatly. "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto him, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Right? They bowed down and worshipped his sheaf. "And his brethren said unto him, Shall you indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." So Joseph was a really likable guy, right? But this is a dream he dreamed. God showed him something when he was 17. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. So now he's telling everybody. "And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" So his dad reproves him, like, come on, that's nonsense. And the word mother there is really his stepmother, Leah. Because Rachel had died in childbirth with his younger brother. So couldn't have been Rachel. But see, like, what are we going to do? We're going to bow down to you? Is that what you're saying? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed, or considered, or kept in mind the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock at Shechem. Okay? So we're going to jump to verse 18 here. So his brethren are out there feeding the flock, and Jacob tells Joseph to go out there and meet them. And when they saw him, verse 18, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Now come, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. And Reuben, who is the oldest brother, heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. And the next part should be like a parenthesis, so it kind of tells you what Reuben was thinking, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So Reuben's like, yeah, just go, cast him into a pit in the wilderness, but don't kill him. You know, just let him hang there for a while, teach him a lesson. His intention being that he would go rescue him out of the pit and bring him to his father so that his other brothers didn't kill him. And it came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood and hide it? What does that get us? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. That's a good plan. Sounds good. So they come up with this other plan. And Reuben isn't there at this other plan to sell him. Verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. Yeah, look, we found this coat. Does it look like the coat that Joseph had? Right, they knew what it was. They set it all up. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Right, so they trick Jacob into believing that Joseph is dead. Dun, dun, dun. But he's been carried off. Go to chapter 39. He was sold into slavery. Now his dad thinks he's dead, right? But he was sold into slavery. And in Genesis 39:1 it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down hither, or thither. Right? So now he's sold into Potiphar's hands, an officer of Pharaoh. And verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was what? A prosperous man. So God was with Joseph. Right? We find that he is sold into slavery. This is, by the 5 cents, it's not a very good situation. Your brothers beat you up, threw you in a pit, and sold you. But God was with him. God was with Joseph, and he was therefore a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Right? It was evident that God was on his side. Right? Even Potiphar saw that. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Right? And that's a really cool thing. Right? And we see that a lot where, you know, if a believer is working at a job, that company is blessed because of that believer's presence. Right? Where a believer is, God is. And God tends to bless that situation as a whole. Right? So he blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Right? So it got to the point where Potiphar didn't even know what he had and owned. Like, he just came in and ate dinner every night because Joseph was taking care of all of it. And it prospered his house. It blessed his house. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." Right? Well, that's not a good thing. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house." He doesn't even know what's with me in the house. "And has committed all that he has in my hand. He trusts me. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me except for you, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar?"
No.
No, that's not what it says. "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Right? Joseph is blessed and he's caused to prosper. He kept God first. In everything that he did, he kept God first. Right? Here was this opportunity presented for him, but it wasn't like, "Hey, I shouldn't do this because Potiphar is going to get mad." He knew that it would be a sin against God to go through with it. So he kept God first. And we won't read the rest of what happens, but Potiphar's wife frames Joseph when he won't lie with her, and he gets put into prison. But verse 19, it says, "And when it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with who?
Joseph.
In prison. The Lord was with Joseph when he was sold into slavery and a servant of Potiphar. And now he was thrown into prison for something he didn't do. But God was with him there. Right? Did he deserve to be thrown in a pit and sold? No. Did he deserve to be thrown into jail? No. But God was with him. He kept God first. Right? So these are situations that are not fun, but God causes him to prosper. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Right? What prisoner do you know gets to run the prison? Right? That's pretty crazy. But Joseph got to, right? God prospered him, and he was seen in favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison because God was with Joseph. Verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Right? That's pretty cool. Verse 1 of chapter 40. "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward of the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And he served them, and they continued a season in the ward." So they were in there with Joseph for a little while. "And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon him, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look you so sadly to? Why are you so down? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. There's no one to tell us what it means. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. So he's like, I'll help you out with that, right? And he credited God as the source of his ability and wisdom, right? God was the one who was going to do this. They were going to have to tell Joseph what the dreams were, but God was going to give him the answer. In verse 12 it says, and Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. So this is the butler. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Everything will be right again. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Remember me, and help me get out of jail. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Verse 20. So the baker tells him his dream, and it doesn't have a happy ending. In verse 20 it says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, which means he let them out of jail. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, just like God had said. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them, just as God had said. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So the outcome is what God said would happen, that the butler would get out and be okay, the baker would get out and be hanged. But he forgot, the butler forgot to tell him, Pharaoh, about Joseph. So he's forgotten. Verse 1 of chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Well, that's a long time. He got forgotten and he was there for 2 years. That Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, so basically cattle, big cows. And they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So he had this crazy dream where there were 7 cows that looked real healthy, and then 7 unhealthy cows came over and ate the healthy cows. And he woke up. So Pharaoh awoke. What a crazy dream, he said. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret it unto Pharaoh. Right? So he has these back-to-back dreams about 7 unhealthy-looking things eating up 7 healthy-looking things. And it troubled him. But no one could tell him the answer. Verse 14. In the meantime, the baker remembers that there was somebody who could interpret dreams, and I forgot him in the jail. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And the word peace there is a sound answer, or one that he seeks, right? God will give you the answer you're looking for, is essentially what he's saying, right? So again, Joseph gives credit to God, right? He didn't say, sure, I can do that for you. I'm really super important. He told them that God would give him the answer. Verse 25. And Joseph said unto the Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, meaning it's the same. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. So God is telling Pharaoh what's about to happen. The seven good kine or cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one, it's the same. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he's showing unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Right? So this is the interpretation. Right? God is showing you that there's going to be seven great plentiful years, and everything's going to seem really great, but then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So bad that you'll forget all about the good years, right? It's going to be really bad. And so he says it's established because it was told twice, right? And when God tells you something twice, it is established. It's going to happen. Verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man, seek out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And this is cool, because did Joseph say like, hey, I'm the only one who can get you out of this, right? He said, you know, seek you out a man who is wise, right? He shows great humility here. And that's really cool because God's prospered him the whole way, right? God's gotten him out of these situations. He's prospered him in the situations he was in, right? He knew that God was taking care of him, but he didn't say, hey, I'm the only one who's going to get you out of this thing, you know. Keep me out of the prison here and I'll take care of everything. He just said, seek you out a man, right? And you don't need to exalt yourself when God is on your side. God will do that for you, right? God is the one who exalts us. We don't need to exalt ourselves. Verse 34, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? So Pharaoh recognized it right away, right? Joseph said, seek you out a person. And Pharaoh's like, you're the person, right? Can we find anybody who's got the Spirit of God like this guy? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Right? And so the outcome, the result, is that Joseph is made second in command over all of Egypt. Right? He was like second in command in Potiphar's house. He was second in command in the prison. And now he's second in command over all of Egypt. Verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Right? And he was 17 when this record began. Right? So at the beginning of this period of plentifulness, these 7 years, Joseph is 30 years old, right? Which is kind of crazy to think about. He's obviously been in Egypt for a little while, but that's a pretty young age to be second in command over the entire nation. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. So 7 years go by, and they have plenty of food. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt, there was what? Bread. Because of God's plan, the wisdom that God gave, right? There was dearth all over the place, even outside of Egypt, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go to Joseph, and what he says to you, do. Joseph will know what to do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands, right? So the surplus was sold, right? It wasn't handed out. It wasn't like, hey, everybody's starving here, right? It was sold. They had to pay for it. Genesis 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, so, you know, Jacob's still back in his land. He's also dealing with the famine, him and his family. Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. Right? Things had been gotten pretty bad. Like, it was like, hey, you got to go buy food or we're going to die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, so that was Rachel's other son. So his Joseph's actual, like, full brother. Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Right? He really loved Rachel, and therefore really loved both of her children. And he didn't want to see Benjamin, something bad happen to Benjamin, because he thinks Joseph's what? Dead. Right? He's already lost Joseph. He doesn't want to lose Benjamin. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was sold to all the people of the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. So Joseph's the guy who's like conducting all of this, organizing all of this buying and selling. And Joseph's brethren came and what? Bowed down themselves. Sounds like his dream, right? From way back when he was 17 years old. Bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Right, the fulfillment of the dream from chapter 37. There's some back and forth with his brothers that you can read sometime, but we'll skip to Genesis 45, chapter 3. So there's a lot of back and forth with brother. They go and they buy some food, and then they come back, and they find out money was still in their bag, so they need more food a little while later, and then Joseph sets up Benjamin so he can keep him, and eventually the whole family arrives. Jacob and everybody arrive in Egypt. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. They were freaking out. Is this really Joseph? Is this the guy we sold? you know, all those years ago. I mean, that was a long time ago at this point. So they're kind of like, holy crap. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life, right? And there's great forgiveness and great deliverance in this section, right? Joseph could have been really mad at his brothers, right? They weren't kind to him, but he was so blessed to see them, and he saw the bigger picture, right? That he ended up where he ended up so that God could deliver them, so that they could live, right? Joseph was able to endure so much because he walked with God and because he had God on his side, right? He was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. He was falsely accused and thrown into jail, right? That's a lot to carry, but he was able to do it with God's help. Verse 6, for these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, there's still 5 more to come, in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord over all Egypt. Come down to me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Right? And so that's what happens, right? Jacob and the entire family, there's like 70 of them in his household, come to Goshen, and they live in Egypt, and they're taken care of, and they're provided for because of what God instructed Joseph to do, right? And it's really cool because God preserves the Christ line through this, right? Joseph, his being in Egypt meant that Jacob and all the children of Israel were able to survive, to live through the famine. If you read the rest of the record, like, Pharaoh ends up with all of the money, all of the livestock, and like all the land and servitude of the people at the end of the 7 years of famine. Like, after people's money run out and they can't buy any more corn, they start bartering for the corn, and they give up their livestock. And when their livestock run out, they start bartering their own land and their own servitude to Pharaoh, right? So Egypt becomes ridiculously wealthy because of all of this. But all of that wealth ends up where? In the hands of the children of Israel during the Exodus, right? God's ways are higher. So he sets up all of this stuff through Joseph to preserve the Christ line, and then to basically set up the children of Israel when they leave for the promised land to have all of this stuff through what, you know, through this famine and what Joseph accomplished, which is really kind of cool to think about the big picture and what God did through this one man, Joseph. So this whole story starts out pretty grim, right? He's beat up and he's thrown into a pit. But Joseph always walked with God. He always trusted in God, and God always caused him to prosper. And because of his believing in his walk, you know, tremendous things happened downstream from that. So.